Hello and welcome to the West City Church podcast. If you'd like to get to know us more, find us at westcitychurch.com.au. We really hope that you're encouraged by today's message.
Morning, everyone. Morning. One of the really sacred things that we do every Sunday at West City is we gather together around the table. Can you hear me? Asher, I think I might be a bit soft. Anyway, I'll just yell if you still can't hear, or I can swap mics. Is that any better? Yep, great, thank you. So we gather together around the communion table and we have common union. And so every Sunday, someone from the congregation just shares a little bit about what God's been placing on their heart relating to communion. And today, I wanted to share, I think, one of the most profound moments for me in the Sunday service is that pause that coming to communion offers. And that it's an invitation, I think, to kind of still the busy and the crazy in our minds and take, whether it's 30 seconds or 5 minutes or whatever it is, to still ourselves in the presence of each other and in the presence of God, to perhaps hear his voice. And one of the things that I've been hearing really consistently, and maybe it's because I'm a bit thick and a bit slow, is the word rest. And so I wanted to just share someone else's writing about rest that has come to me because of the moments of communion. And I think it is the invitation to rest in the presence of the Spirit and the Father and the Son that gives us the space that we need to live with and for him. Sometimes rest is the most courageous walk of all. Your body is just as good on the days that you must rest as the days that you can run. Your body is good on the days that you groan, the days you grieve, and the days that you get your whole to-do list done. No pills, no pain, no trauma and no shame can take away your worth, can take away anything. Your weight, strength, sense of safety and income might change, but your belovedness is here to stay. Word made flesh. When you were born, divinity became someone who needed to be held and fed. Cradle me now, because having a body often feels like being too weak. But if you are no less divine because of your body, I am no less beloved because of the needs of mine. Sometimes rest is the most courageous walk of all. So as we come today, after the sermon, to the communion table, I want to encourage you to pause and rest in perhaps what God is saying to you, and that might be physical rest, it might be something completely different. But as we come to the table, may we hear the invitation of Christ for our walk today. Amen.
Yeah. Coffee may not be enough this morning. Yes, as Josh already has said, we're starting our new series, Message in a Meal, and It's something I'm excited about. In fact, I was looking at the last time we did something similar to this. 2000, can anyone guess? 2000 and? Close. It's 2015. Wow. That was a long time ago. This keeps turning off. It just keeps resetting. The slides keep resetting. Could I have the other one? Is that? Thanks, Aaron. No, it's not working. Technology. So I get to kick off the series this morning, and I'm excited about it because for those who have been here more than 5 minutes, you'll all know that the table, the meal that we share, has really formed us as a community. How many can say amen to that. In fact, some people say they come for listening to the person who talks around the table and then coming to the table and then hanging out with people out the back. Great. And you know what? That's actually fantastic. That's enough. Because Jesus says, whenever you get together, do this with knowing that I'm in the midst of you. I'm a typical guy. I can't do two things at once. So anyone else notice that? So let's just start. How many know some things don't need words? A look. I remember my mum used to give us looks in church because we used to muck around so much. Some looks can be good. Some looks can be terrifying. My mum's look was terrifying because we try and wait till it was quiet in church and then fart as loud as we could or, you know, make my brothers laugh. And then we'd start laughing. And then, you know, when you're laughing in a place you shouldn't be laughing, it's almost impossible to stop laughing. And my mum would just look over. She's lovely. We call her Queenie. She's so, like, lovely. But she would give us this look like, you will get smacked when you get home. Like, it was like one of those looks. And sometimes, you know, Caroline will give me a look. No, it's a look like, I love you. And then I'm like, oh, hubba, hubba. She's like, no, I just want to hug. I'm the only one, I guess, who's like that. Don't know what that means, I just want to hug. But anyway, but I was at the gym the other night. Usually I go in the afternoon, but this is at night and about 7 p.m. And I heard this ruckus happening over the other side of the gym, like shouting and like not even shouting, but it was like screaming and shouting. And I actually thought two guys had sort of got into it over, I don't know, who had the biggest biceps or something. They were, so it's Revo Fitness, so it's a really big warehouse, so I couldn't see what was happening. So I thought, being nosy, I thought, I'll just wander over there. And as I walked over, I saw like this guy, he looked like he was fully, you know, fully dressed, hoodie and all that. He was running up to the girls at the, on the leg press kind of, you know, the racks. And he was literally shouting and screaming at them and scaring them that I could see. Everyone was terrified. And there was quite a few people there. And you know, straight away I thought, oh, what had happened is he'd tailgated someone in. And he was crazy. He was on something or I don't know what was happening, but he was just off his face. And I could see the fear in these girls' eyes. So as I was walking up, there's this other chick. She's like a power lifter. Her name's Victoria. She hates being called that, so I call it her all the time. And she looked at me as I was walking out. She said, are you going to do something or shall I? And I was thinking, Victoria, you probably have more chance than me. But I said, yeah, I'll do something. So I went up to this guy, and as I was walking up, I was like, hey, bro, you got to leave. And I sort of put my arms out like this. But as I was doing it, I was looking. There was lots of guys there, young guys, fit guys. I was looking at them going, what does that mean? If I did this to you, what? It wasn't what it meant when I was doing it, Esther. It was, yeah, it was like, help me. Like, but have my back at least. So I'm doing this to this guy. He's going, ah! He's running around like Tasmanian devil. Just, you know, like, and then eventually, you know, obviously he didn't want to mess with Brock Lesnar. I was naked at the time as well. And he sort of jumped over the barrier and left. And I sort of waited around a bit longer and, because I was thinking of our girls, they said, like, you know, they don't want to go in the car park and be scared. But these guys, they just did nothing. They just stood there and let me kind of, like, do my arm thing, just walking towards them. The fact is, lots of things speak louder than words. You know, a look, but also a sign. You know, the fact is those guys didn't catch what this meant. But let me just show you a sign. What does that sign mean? What's that sign? Disability parking, yeah, or different ability parking, disability, disabled parking, or a hot car. Yeah, well, look, that's a sign, right? That's a sign. Pretty clear. I won't say who parked there or how long I've been married to her. But we were having breakfast yesterday and it made me laugh because as we were walking, I said to Caroline, I walk back to the car with you. And as we're walking back, she just stopped. Caroline's very expressive. Has anyone ever noticed that? She's very expressive and she just literally stopped. She went, ah! And I almost had a heart attack. I was like, whoa, whoa. You know, looking around and she's like, tell me I didn't. Tell me I didn't. And so we walked closer and yes, she had parked for an hour in a parking spot that maybe she shouldn't have. Well, she definitely shouldn't have. So I did the caring, loving thing a husband does. I started videoing her as she was leaving. And there's another guy there. I was like, can you believe this? Mercedes owners, right? Like, what the heck? And she was like, feel her mortified. I was actually thinking she's probably crying on the way home. So I sent it to the girls on our family group chat. And they were like, oh, Mom, there's probably someone came. They were looking forward to a great morning. And there's your car parked there. And they had to leave crying, you know. And they were just giving her heaps. Yeah, I am getting that look. By the way, for those of you wondering, I can't believe Phil just surrendered, but I did ask permission for this, all right? And she was like, oh, okay. She was like, why are you telling it? I was like, I don't know. No, I do. For those listening on the podcast, she said, he's not getting the look tonight. Signs, looks, meals, they speak to us. You know, we mark significant moments with significant meals, don't we? Weddings. Even today, our town hall meeting is marking a significant moment. It's a catch-up, letting you know what's happening in our community. You know, and these meals that we have, they bind together family and friends, colleagues. These meals speak to who we are and how we feel towards one another. Our shared joys and hopes. And the truth is, we're going to be talking over the next 4 weeks about this meal and what it speaks to us. But just like my first two stories, sometimes we can miss what's being said. Sometimes we don't pay attention. We can miss the beautiful message that this meal, this sign speaks to us. And so that's why we are going to, over the next 4 weeks, just talk about what are some of the messages in the meal. And this morning, I want to ask the question, what is the message in the communion meal? For many of us, we'll have things already that we've noticed. The amazing thing about meals is that, and especially meals that celebrate special moments. Oh, I better take that off. Yeah, sorry. Caroline gave me the look. The meals that celebrate special moments is that it's not so much about the fact that we're fed, is it? That actually is the important thing. It's what happens while we actually celebrate or be in that space together as we gaze with one another, as we talk with one another, as we sit. We're actually profoundly changed, yes, by the food, but so much more. So we're going to look at this first verse today. This first verse today. And it says this: as they were eating, Jesus took some bread and blessed it. Then he broke it in pieces and gave it to the disciples, saying, Take it, this is my body. And he took the cup of wine and gave thanks to God for it, and he gave it to them, and they all drank from it. And he said to them, this is my blood, which confirms the covenant between God and his people. It's poured out as a sacrifice for many. I tell you the truth, I will not drink wine again until the day I drink it new in the kingdom of God. This was a special moment celebrated by a special meal. It was actually a Passover meal, and this Passover meal was important for the Israelites, the Jewish people, because it celebrated something. It was something they did to remind them of what God had done already. And Jesus spoke these words, not just remembering, but repurposing them. It's actually beautiful for what he said. He began to, and you might not know the Passover meal, or you may, but let me just give you a little recap. God promised Abraham that he would bless him, made a covenant with him, would bless him, and that his offspring would be a blessing to the world, right? How many would like that promise? Give me a wave. You actually got it, actually. But anyway, moving on. Fast forward a little bit. The Israelites are in Egypt in slavery for 400 years. And they're slaves. And then a guy called Moses rocks up. Remember the bit where he meets God and God sends him to the Israelites. He's also a Jewish man who's run away but been brought up in Pharaoh's household. And so he comes and he says to Pharaoh, hey, let my people go. And Pharaoh says, no. Sorry, I like them. Free labor, brilliant. And so began a bunch of signs that happened in Egypt. And the culmination of the signs was this urging from Moses to say, I want you to actually tonight celebrate a meal, have a meal. Take a lamb, cook it, take the blood of the lamb, put it on the doorposts. Because tomorrow, you're going to be set free. And everyone who does that, death is going to pass them by. And everyone who doesn't, death won't pass them by. And so they did that. And these Israelites began a journey of being set free. 400 years after being enslaved. And so it wasn't lost on Jewish people from that point on, every time they sat and celebrated the Passover, that they were celebrating as free people, that God had set them free, that he had kept his promise to be someone who would liberate them. And here Jesus is saying, it's almost like he's cranking up the volume on this, and he's saying, you know what? I want you to know that I'm the Lamb, and through my sacrifice, I'm going to liberate you and remind you that you are a free people, and I'm going to inaugurate a new kingdom, and you're going to be absolutely blown away by what God is continuing to do in the world through you and through my death on the cross. I know the people, the disciples as they were there, I know they were like, oh man, what does it mean? This is my body. Eat it. This is my blood. I mean, a bit gory, hey. A bit crazy. But just as he ate the lamb and partook of it, he's saying, if you partake in me, you'll be liberated. Just like we remember the liberation from Egypt. But here's the good news. It's liberated. You're liberated so much more than just being freed from slaves. I'm going to liberate you in the following ways. And they couldn't quite get it. And after the cross, as every time they met the meal, they realized how profound and beautiful this was. This is the amazing mystery in this table. He was saying, I'm going to liberate you from death, from sin, from all that enslaves us. Hip hip. Yeah. This is his promise. I'm going to liberate you to be his people, to be free people, really free people in Jesus Christ, to be fully human people, and people for whom death can't even hold us. Big claims. But also, we see the disciples on the other side of the cross realizing those claims are reality as God's kingdom is inaugurated. So when we come to this meal, one of the messages is, it's a message to be free. To be free, to not be a slave, to not be held captive. It's a message of Jesus saying, I want to break every chain. That God is so good. John, as you were singing those songs today, I know what you mean about sometimes you have to put things on loop, right? That playlist, and you just play it. It's a reminder every time we share a meal, Jesus says, it's a freedom that I've come. That the thief comes to kill, steal, and destroy, but I've come to give you life and life to the fullest. The great thing about the meal is, firstly, you think, oh, you can be told that and know it in your head, but the meal somehow helps it sink that 35 centimetres, or if it's me, 3.5 metres, sink down. To not just be a mental ascent, but to be something that you actually feel and touch and handle with others. The message of the meal, firstly, is that Jesus has come to set us free. Funny because you know when you picture something in your head when you're speaking it? I pictured you to be jumping up off the seats right now. I should have known that's not the case. But as I was like writing it, I was like, oh Lord, thank you that every week. But that message can be missed, you see. It can be dismissed. Hold that central. Josh, you said that this morning about holding it central. Kind of like the cross, outside of the cross, this meal is like, but this is kind of Jesus saying, this is what the cross is for, right? Hold it central. Don't miss it. Don't miss it like the disability sign. The look. No, sorry. Don't miss it like the guys at the gym that I was doing this to. Could it be that Jesus today is doing this to you? He's doing this. He's going... Because that's what he was doing with the disciples on that Passover meal. He was saying, this is so much bigger than you could realize. And one day you'll discover it and you'll know the joy of it, the reality of it. But don't miss it. They missed it, but they got there eventually. The other thing about the message in the meal, it's big for us at West City. And I only speak on this whole series once, so I wanted to just throw this in. Is in the message of this meal is the welcome of Jesus. The welcome of Jesus. Several years ago, a young lady came to church for the first time. And after church, we had a conversation. I remember it was up here. And her name was Natha. And it was Natha's first time, I think, to church. And she said to me, when we came up front, she said, we're chatting, and she's like, Hey, Phil, what does West City believe about the communion table? And she began to unpack. She's come from a Catholic background, and so she was like, you know, in the Catholic Church is this idea of, you know, transubstantiation, which means that that bread and that ribena, at the time we were having wine, but the bread and the wine become the literal blood and body of Jesus kind of thing, as the priest hands it to you. And she's like, what do you believe here at West City? And there's a few beliefs around the table. And this might lead us to sometimes missing the point or maybe getting the point. There's that view that I've just shared, but there's also that this is just a symbol. It's just a symbol of what Jesus, just a picture, a beautiful little, nice little picture. And we take it and it's kind of like still in our heads and it's just something we do to remind us. I said to Nathan, I know there's those two views. Our view here at West City is that how do we see the communion table? It's mystery that somehow as we share a meal and come to the table, that God's grace is able to get to us because this is not our initiative, it's His initiative. This is not me coming and being accepted because of what I am. It's God solely saying, do this and I'll meet with you. The question Nathan really found out was asking is, how do you see this? Is this important? But the second, I think, more underlying question was, am I welcome here? Can I come? See, Nathan's gay, and she was a bit scared because the other thing about communion in some circles and whatever is that you have a closed table. The closed table means there's an order you really need to go through to then be welcome to the table. Maybe some of you experience this. You know, you should be baptized first, maybe do a confirmation class, you know all the right stuff, and then you can come. Sometimes in churches, especially ones I grew up in, sometimes there'd be a heavy thing at the front like, you know, if you're not right with God, you better get right before you come because, you know, people die when they come wrongly to the table. Mate, as like a 12-year-old, I used to pack it. I'm like, you know, God, I'm scared of you. And this is not the picture that we see in Jesus, right? Let's face it. Can we be honest? Jesus shared meals with people most of us, I included, would be totally unready to share meals with. Amen? Sex workers, lawyers, lepers, outsiders, people collaborating with Rome, the oppressors. Like, he was not fussy at all. Jesus said, if you see me, you see in the Father. So here's this picture, right? So I said to Nathan, I said, we don't have a closed table, we have an open table. Interestingly enough, the passage I read you, this passage here where Jesus spoke to his disciples, do you know he was speaking that to people he knew were going to screw him over? Judas, the disciples, they would betray him, run away. But he was also speaking to faithful women as well who would stick by him. A whole gamut, right, of people. And he still said, hey, come. Let's take this together. When Moses told them to celebrate the Passover, he said it to a bunch of people that God knew. They'd go and build a golden calf. The golden calf, that is the answer. Who would like be totally stubborn and rebellious. And God still said, come, celebrate the Passover. Take it. There's a lady who I really admire a lot. She's passed away, Rachel Held Evans. And she wrote this. This is kind of what I wanted to say to Nathan, but didn't have the words to say. It says, but the gospel doesn't need a coalition devoted to keeping the wrong people out. It needs a family of sinners saved by grace, committed to tearing down the walls, throwing open the doors and shouting, welcome, there's bread and wine. come and eat with us and talk. And if you to be judged for having gotten this wrong, if we're to be judged for having gotten this wrong, let it be that we sat more people at the table than fewer, because it's not our table, it's God's. Come on. You see, I think we can see in what Jesus said and how he lived that the table is not for the worthy, it's for the hungry. And if you're hungry today, if you're hungry for him, you're hungry to be a part of that community where Jesus would go and get the one sheep. He'd come after you. He'd say, come back. Come be a part. If you're hungry, there's food to eat. If you've messed up, if you've broken down, if you've denied, if you've doubted, if you've failed, it's still welcome this morning. He says, literally, I'm not fussy, because my blood, my sacrifice is bigger than any mistake, any doubt. As I said, you can know it here, but the table, the meal, helps us live it here.
How good was that message? Thank you so much for joining us. Each week at West City, we say a benediction together. We do this because we believe that the purpose of the church is to be a caring community for the world, and that as we go and serve others, we enter into Christ's work of welcome, restoration, and healing, both for us and others. We believe that in doing so, we get to see and encounter Christ. So let's say the benediction together. We come together as the church to be reminded of the go of Christ. So we will go out and feed the hungry, go out and clothe the naked, go out and fight for justice, go out and end oppression, go out and proclaim anew the old, old story, go out and associate with those who don't look like us, think like us, act like us, and don't even like us. And we'll do it all in the name of the one who sent us. His name is Jesus.